Now you are listening to Talk of the Town.
Talk of the Town
with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems.
And good afternoon. I'm Ray Hanania, and this is Talk of the Town Radio, broadcast live on YahalaVoice.com and on 1450 AM radio. It's Friday, February 13, 2015. Friday the 13th. Our producer is Khalid Khilfa. And if you want to call in during the show, we of course welcome your comments. To share your opinion, we want to hear it. Our telephone number and call in line is 708-321-1313 extension 1. That's 708-321-1313 extension 1. Talk of the Town Radio is brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need available today. 1-800-421-3366. We're broadcast live on radio at 1450 AM and online all over the world at YahalaVoice.com every Friday at 4:05 p.m. Talk of the Town Radio is rebroadcast online on Mondays at 11 a.m. and is available in podcast form at iTunes and on our website at TheArabDailyNews.com, where you can read my syndicated columns. This week, I tell you, this has been a terrible week. It's just been so many bad things have happened, so many terrible things, and these terrible things spark more terrible things, like that Debbie Schlussel attacking Kyla Mueller, the American who was murdered by ISIS. Shows you what, you know, some Americans who hate America and love Israel's right-wing fanaticism so much. Kyla worked for the rights of Palestinians, and believe me, before they even knew that, they were crying about her being killed by ISIS and Daesh and, you know, the terrorists in the Middle East. But as soon as they found out she did one thing to help the Palestinians, suddenly they're attacking her. And I couldn't even repeat the garbage that this Debbie Schlussel puts on her website. It just makes me sick. She makes me puke when I even, just saying her name upsets me. I don't even want to think about it. But we're going to talk about Kayla. We're going to talk about the Chapel Hill shootings Tuesday. It's horrible. All those things that happened. Three beautiful people. The more you read about these three people that were massacred in Chapel Hill on Tuesday night, allegedly in a dispute over a parking place, and they're still trying to decide, you know, what, 3 days later, whether it's a hate crime or not. It's a hate crime! What do we need to investigate? Are you kidding me? You get in an argument over a parking place, you pull out a gun and you shoot the guy, and then you look and say, oh, your wife is Muslim. She's wearing a hijab. Let me shoot her too. And you shoot her, and then you look and say, oh, your wife's sister is a Muslim and she's wearing a hijab. Let's shoot her. Are you kidding me? No, what's the question? And then they're defending this guy. He's an atheist. He's not an American. He's not a Christian. He's not a white dude. He's an atheist. And you know, he's an individual. Kind of like that Nidal Hassan. Remember Nidal Hassan? He killed all those people in that army medical unit. They said he was the symbol of Islam and the symbol of all Muslims. One guy suddenly becomes like the prophet of Islam, all because he did something bad, and Americans want to blanket attack every Muslim in the United States because of what he does. And when a white dude gets up there and murders three, I'm telling you, look at these people. These are not haters that were murdered. They were nice people. The two beautiful faces of the women. The guy, he just weeks before he was massacred and slaughtered, he organized and helped organize an event to feed the homeless in downtown Durham. And people are arguing about, oh, whether is it a hate crime or not? I don't know. It just makes me upset. My head is killing me from all this stuff. It's terrible. We live in a country where racism and stereotypes drive the American people. And when you catch them dead to rights that something was done wrong, they will come up with every excuse. Not every one of them, but the majority. how many people are yelling and screaming at me on Facebook because I criticize this guy as symbolizing white racism in America. They don't want to admit it, but these same people are willing to take one Muslim or even 15 Muslims and say that they represent the 2 billion Muslims around the world. It just makes me sick. And I brought on someone to help calm me down. Because, believe me, I need some rationality. Alexandra Halaby. She's a spokesperson for a great news website, IMEMC.org, the International Middle East Center, News Center, the International Middle East Media Center, excuse me, International Middle East Media Center at IMEMC.org has so many phenomenal articles. You don't find many of these published in the mainstream media. And we're going to talk with her a little bit about what IMEMC, and I want to pronounce it as a word, but it's really not. We're going to talk with her about that. And then I want to keep her on and we're going to talk about this rising rage in this country. Alexandra, thanks for joining us again here at Talk of the Town Radio.
Thank you so much for having me today, Ray.
I hope I didn't scare you away with my anger. I'm just so upset. Is this news upsetting, or should I just count to 10, have a coffee, and go to sleep?
No, the news of the 3 Arab American students killed by the terrorist in North Carolina is definitely upsetting. Also, you spoke about
Kayla Mueller, right?
Kayla Mueller. And you know, it's interesting. I wrote pieces on both the terrorist attack against the Arab American students in North Carolina, and I wrote the piece on Kayla Mueller. I do want to mention that we received at the International Middle East Media Center Kayla's name several months ago, and in respect of her family's wishes, we didn't release her name.
Right.
So we were familiar with Kayla. I had started researching the work that she had done. Matter of fact, Kayla had volunteered in Palestine with the International Solidarity Movement, which is a division of the IMEMC in which I'm employed. So
and it's amazing how these right-wing Israelis attack the International Solidarity Movement. And this is a nonviolent movement demanding justice. This is exactly what the Israelis and the right wing said. Oh, how come the Arabs don't have a nonviolent movement? Well, they do have a nonviolent movement. And as soon as this nonviolent movement came up and organized, they started denouncing it even worse, still calling them terrorists, still attacking them, mm-hmm. and celebrating they're literally, these right-wing Israelis are celebrating the murder of an American citizen, Kayla Mueller, all because she felt Palestinians were being treated badly in the occupied territories. It's just
right.
upsetting.
It's very upsetting, but of course Kayla also volunteered as a humanitarian aid in India.
Right.
And
she worked all over, right?
Worked all over. She volunteered in Turkey along the border. In fact, she was in Aleppo, Syria, leaving the Spanish Doctors Without Borders when she was kidnapped. So this woman, Kayla Mueller, is somebody that all Americans should emulate for her love of humanity,
yes.
for her...
And they should be speaking out. I mean, Americans should be angry at those pro-Israeli nut jobs that are libeling her now, that are slandering her memory, that are attacking her. They should, you know, these Americans need to stand up. This is an American who died. She did the right thing, not just for Palestinians, as you point out, but for everybody. She's a good person.
The majority, even though she did volunteer in Palestine, the majority of her work was with Syrian refugees. And, of course, we know that after Palestinians, which, of course, Palestinians are the largest refugee group in the world, Syrians are now the second largest refugee group. So she was working from her base on the Syrian Turkish border to help Yazidis and to help the Kurds and to help Christians, minorities that are being targeted by Daesh. I can't say enough good things. And like I said, we found out Kayla's name many months ago, and we chose not to to run her name in any way because her family had requested that that media hold her name.
Right. They didn't want, what they were afraid of was that if there was media about her, it would bring unnecessary negative coverage from the perspective of Daesh, the terrorists over there, and that some harm would come to her, correct? So I thought that was very good to do that. Just like we tried, many American media, they tried to play down the hostages who were killed, the ones that were beheaded, over the past few months. You know, they tried to do the same thing with them. In the hopes that maybe these lives could be saved. But what bothers me, though, is it's only Kayla that's being libeled, you know, and worse is, I remember hearing the story, if I might, Alexander, the story that somehow she was given as a sex slave, you know, and they're making a big deal about this to one of the terrorists. You know, it just, it bothers me.
I had heard through some of the Arabic media, earlier today that perhaps she had been what they call partnered with a Syrian. However, I do want to let you know that we received and of course I have to protect my sources, but somebody who was being held hostage along with Kayla, who was a French national, the French apparently paid the ransom and he was released. Kayla sent a letter with him upon his release. He was able to smuggle a letter from her out of the country. We have a facsimile, a picture of the letter that we published on IMEMC, and I also transcribed because it's a little difficult to read, I'm sure under duress, when she wrote the letter. But if you don't mind, I would love to read just a little of the letter that Kayla sent. The letter that Kayla sent to her family kind of describes her conditions while in captivity, and it also expresses her wish that her family not negotiate with Daesh. And the letter begins, "Everyone, if you are receiving this letter, it means I am still detained, but my cellmates..." Excuse me, I'm going to turn on the light. "My cellmate, starting from November 2nd, 2014, have been released. I've asked them to contact you and send you this letter. It's hard to know what to say. Please know that I am in a safe location, completely unharmed and healthy. I've put on weight, in fact. I have been treated with the utmost respect and kindness. I wanted to write you all a well-thought-out letter, but I didn't know if my cellmates would be leaving in the coming days or the coming months, restricting my time. But primarily, I could only but write the letter a paragraph at a time. Just the thought of you all sends me into a fit of tears. If you could say I have suffered at all throughout this whole experience, it is only in knowing how much suffering I have put you all through. I will never ask you to forgive me, as I do not deserve forgiveness. I remember Mom always telling me that all in all, in the end, the only one you really have is God. I've come to a place an experience where, in every sense of the word, I have surrendered myself to our Creator, because literally there was no one else. And by God and by your prayers, I have felt tenderly cradled in free fall. I have been shown in darkness light, and have learned that even in prison one can be free. I am grateful. I've come to see that there is good in every situation. Sometimes we just have to look for it. I pray each day that if nothing else, you have felt closeness, that you felt certain closeness and surrender to God as well, and have formed a bond of love and support amongst one another. I miss you all, as it has been a decade of forced separation. I have had many a long hour to think of all the things I will do with Lex, which I think was Kayla's sister. Our first family camping trip, the first meeting at the airport. I've had many hours to think how only in your absence have I finally, at 25 years old, come to realize your place in my life. The gift that is each one of you, and the person I could and could not be if you were not a part of my life, my family, my support. I do not want the negotiations for my release to be your duty. If there is any other option, please take it. Even if it takes more time, this should never have become your burden. I've asked these women to support you. Please seek their advice if you have not done so already. Redacted. That the next part is redacted. Another part that's redacted. Who may have a certain level of experience with these people. None of us could have known it would be this long, but no, I'm also fighting from my side in the ways that I am able, and I have a lot of fight left inside of me. I'm not breaking down, and I will not give in no matter how long it takes. I wrote a song some months ago that says, quote, "The part of me that pains the most also gets me out of bed. Without your hope, there would be nothing left," end quote. AKA, the thoughts of your pain is the source of my own. Simultaneously, the hope of our reunion is the source of my strength. Please be patient. Give your pain to God. I know you would want me to remain strong. That's exactly what I'm doing. Do not fear for me. Continue to pray, as will I. And by God's will, we'll be together soon. And she signed it, "All My Everything, Kayla."
And that's the letter.
A moving note. Yeah. And like she said, she had to write it paragraph by paragraph so she wouldn't get caught by her Daesh captors. And then she was able to smuggle the letter out with a hostage who left from there.
And you could read that letter on the International Middle East Media Center. It's on their website. I'm on the line with Alexandra Hallaby, the spokesperson for the IMEMC. Alexandra, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Kyla Mueller, about the shootings at Chapel Hill. If people want to call in, I encourage you to call in at 708-321-1313, extension 1, to share your views on this and other topics. The Kyla Mueller story really bothers me as an American, that a foreign country that depends so much on our money from taxpayers is slandering and libeling her for political benefits, and I think Israelis should apologize to the United States for what their people, what their spokespeople, what their right-wing activists are saying about this woman who was murdered as a hostage by Daesh, the Islamic State terrorists. I'm Ray Hanania. You're listening to Talk of the Town Radio at 1450 AM in Chicagoland and on YahalaVoice.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion with my guest, Alexandra Halaby of the International Middle East Media Center. We'll be right back right after these messages.
You're listening to YahalaVoice.
Home Life Furniture. آخر صيحات الأثاث وكل ما تحتاج من مفروشات. Home Life Furniture. الأمانة، الأخوة، والدقة في المواعيد.
No credit needed to finance. Everyone is approved at Home Life Furniture. 13449 South Cicero Avenue in Crestwood, Illinois. 708-631-3627. Mention Yahala Voice and your delivery is free. Get $200 off when you spend $1,500.
Do you have a medical alert device? When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
And Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge's 72-hour sale starts now. $30 million in inventory, $5 million in discounts, and $25 million to lend will be available for this public sale at Man Carry's Chrysler Jeep Dodge at Oak Lawn. Now through Monday, get $12,000 off MSRP. Get 0% for 72 months, plus a $4,500 rebate. 800 factory cars are on display. Brand new Jeep Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, minivans, Ram trucks, and more. $5 million in discounts will be made available on Man Carry's $30 million of new car inventory. Stop what you're doing right now and get to Mancari's in Oak Lawn. $12,000 off MSRP. 0% for 72 months, plus $4,500 in rebates. $30 million in inventory. And bank reps on site with $25 million to lend. You will drive today. Hurry. This public sale will absolutely end Monday. Sale hours extended till midnight at Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge on 95th Street, Oak Lawn.
On select models, $1,389 per thousand with zero down, with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and doc fee.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Rush, here to tell you about the best talk show on the planet. It's called Rise Up. If you're looking for a show that talks about all the issues that matter to you, then you need to listen to Rise Up. From the latest stories happening back home in Palestine, the Middle East, and of course, all the stories happening in our own backyard in Chicago, and of course, across the nation. That is what Rise Up is all about. Plus, Rise Up is a program that wants to hear from you. Call the show, 708-321-1313, extension 1. Oh, by the way, I also do this show with this guy named Bob. We call him the Great American. The guy thinks he's an expert when it comes to Arab-related news. Actually, he's not so bad. So listen to Rise Up every Wednesday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Central Time on Chicago's 1450 AM and YahalaVoice.com.
Yahala Voice, connecting the Arab voice globally.
And welcome back to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania, here live at YahalaVoice.com and 1450 AM Radio. I'm here every Friday at 4.05 p.m. talking about Middle East issues with guests. And a guest on the line this week is Alexandra Halaby. She's a spokesperson for the International Middle East Media Center. And we were originally going to talk about water rights, Alexandra. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? But we got kind of distracted by the wave of horrible events of the past week, the death of Kayla Mueller, the massacre of three Arab American Muslims in Chapel Hill. What's the issue with the water in the Middle East and Palestine?
Sure. Access to potable water has been a problem for Palestinians, both in the West Bank and in Gaza, for quite some time. In the occupied territories between 2000 and 2006, Israel's Ministry of Construction and Housing funded 53% of housing starts and 42% of all residential construction costs. So in Israel's illegal settlements, according to a report by Human Rights Watch, that report is titled Separate and Unequal, which anybody can go to hrw.org to download and read Separate and Unequal, which is a wonderful report. The report noted that Israel provided absolutely no funding for Palestinian housing in the occupied West Bank. In occupied East Jerusalem, only 13% of zoned land is available for Palestinian construction. Getting into water. Water is a really scarce resource in Israel and in the occupied territories. Israel's controlled the water resources in the West Bank and the Gaza since the occupation began in 1967. The World Bank has estimated that Palestinians have lost more than 100,000 agricultural jobs because Israel denied Palestinians access to water resources that were diverted to illegal Jewish settlements in the West Bank. The World Health Organization found that Israelis consume four times more water than Palestinians in the occupied territories per day. In one area, in the Jordan Valley, I was just researching this a little earlier because I'm working along with IMEMC's brand new investigative journalist, Ken Klippenstein, on this particular water issue. In one area alone in the Jordan Valley, 9,000 Jewish settlers consume 25% of the water used by the entire Palestinian population in the West Bank, which totals 2.5 million people. So according to the UN, 60,000 West Bank Palestinians lack access to running water, and they must pay one-sixth of their income to have water trucked into their communities. As we know, under Netanyahu, who has increased the illegal settlements more than 54% since his term as prime minister, the settlements are being built in such a way that they cut through Palestinian villages. The roads to the settlements, to the illegal Jewish-only settlements, are the roads are Jewish-only, so Palestinians are unable to utilize those roads. Many times when villages are cut in half when the settlers build these illegal settlements, the well or the water resources will be on the side where the illegal settlers are, so therefore the Palestinians are unable to.
There's a lot of information about how Israel intentionally is doing this to take the water resources that are very hard to come by in the Middle East and ensure that they're used only for Israel and for the illegal settlements. You know, in the occupied West Bank, even when they build this apartheid wall through the West Bank, it's not on the Green Line dividing, 1948 occupied Palestine from 1967 occupied Palestine. It's in the West Bank, and it's around the wells, so that the wells are on the Israeli side of this wall, specifically so that Palestinian civilians can't get the water that they need. And I think it's part of a larger strategy just to, inhumanely push human beings out of that territory so the Israelis can build up their illegal settlements. We're on the line with Alexandra Halaby from the International Middle East Media Center, the IMEMC. I don't know why I have a hard time saying that name, Alexandra. Can we come up with how about we just call it the best news source for information that the American media refuses to publish? That would be a good name.
I think that our director in Bethlehem, would appreciate that. His name is George Rishmawi. I think that
I know George is a great guy. I know George. I love the guy. He's a great guy. I want to bring a caller on that we have on the line. Allie Eunice is the editor, co-editor of the ArabDailyNews.com online news website, which, by the way, is over 600,000 hits, and we're not even in the middle of the month. This month, Allie, we're going to probably hit 1.2 million page views, you know, on the ArabDailyNews.com website. Welcome to the show, Allie.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be with you once again, and I enjoyed the conversation, and I intently listened to Ms. Halaby's account of Ms. Mueller's tragic death.
Isn't that terrible? Doesn't that bother you, Ellie, too? I mean, am I overreacting the way there's,
it does bother me. I mean, I'm, as an investigative journalist, and I was, you know, I'm privy to a lot of information that I got from the administration in the past few weeks. It was not made public because of sensitivity that you mentioned, you know, a lot of U.S. media, you know.
We wanted to save her life, right? Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, I know. I mean, now I can say it, that the U.S. government has known that Ms. Mueller was dead and was most likely killed and murdered several months before it was announced by ISIS. And so there were some risky attempts, and Obama has mentioned it, but I know for a fact that there were some samples were taken that were investigated for DNA purposes that I got from sources in the administration, U.S. Justice Department and the Pentagon. But, you know, we cannot report these things because, first of all,
Allie, we lost you there. I got to have you call us back. Alexander, that is an interesting point that he was getting to about how the Jordanians attacked Daesh in response to the murder of their Jordanian pilot. There were a lot of people who were blaming the Jordanians because in the attack they said this Kayla Mueller had died. But there's some people that believe she was already dead. And then once they discovered that she was a pro-Palestinian, even though it was a small part of what she did, it was almost like they stopped complaining. It's just so political.
Well, you know, I think that Kayla Jean Mueller was a pro-human. You know, that was part of Daesh's propaganda campaign to say that the Jordanian Air Force, when they dropped the bombs in Larraqa, were responsible for her death. I don't know exactly. I would think that perhaps they, you know, nobody else was killed. There were no other Daesh militants that were killed in that attack, allegedly, according to Daesh. So why would Kayla have been in a building by herself other than just a propaganda, you know? We have an editorial guideline that has just been put into effect with IMEMC that we no longer refer to Daesh as the Islamic State or as ISIS or ISIL. It's only Daesh because we don't want to give any misinformation or misunderstanding that they any way represent Islam.
I think that's a good decision. I think, Alexandra. I think we have Ali Younis back on the line. Ali, you there?
Yes.
Sorry, we lost you there. That was the Jordanian Mukhabarat. They thought we were going to criticize them, and here we were going to defend them. You know, against Daesh's attack. And Alexander makes a great point that we're not referring to them anymore as the Islamic State because these terrorists really have nothing to do with Islam. They've hijacked the label and put it on themselves, but they're not Muslim at all. These are just terrorist murderers and criminals. And I think Daesh is a great word to describe them. How much responsibility have any credibility on this accusation, Ali, that the Jordanians somehow, you know, in their response to Daesh, they ended up killing Ms. Mueller?
Well, just like Sandra said, there was no credibility whatsoever, none whatsoever.
Good.
First of all, there's no way that they can find out that an F-16, you know, being on the ground, or kind of, you know, a fighter jet that flies 30,000 feet high in the skies, that they know it was But also when I looked at the pictures when they first announced, I mean, obviously the buildings, not all were hit, and you could see that they also specifically announced that no one was killed except, and that's after the point of Alexandra, that only Ms. Mueller was killed. It was just very so convenient for them to blame the Jordanians.
Right.
And at the same time, they provided nothing, none whatsoever. But you know, Daesh or ISIS, but I mean, also Daesh also is an acronym for the same words Islamic State in Iraq and Syria in Arabic. So ISIS and Daesh.
Of course, they hate being called Daesh. They absolutely hate that. And so that's another reason that we choose to call them.
Yeah, that's a good reason. Right. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. That's a good reason.
But also, we should not also forget the Syrian victims being bombarded, being slaughtered.
We're not.
And the Iraqi victims, you know, Sunnis, right. The Christians, all minorities. But also, I mean, you could tell this whole conflict. I mean, we only talk about it, you know, more coverage when an American. I'm not, taken away from the legitimacy of the story. I mean, we all try very hard that those are innocent people, journalists and volunteers, aid workers, you know. They go out of their lives, out of the comfort of being an American or European to help, you know, the downtrodden in Syria and Iraq, yet they're getting slaughtered just like the citizens of Syria, just like the citizens of Iraq. And there's a big proxy war going on out there. And, you know, in my opinion, you know, the U.S. administration is responsible for its lack of action that really propelled this, you know, ISIS group into becoming the monster it is, the satanic, torturous death that they inflict upon their victims, no matter what they are. And I think we should speak out that the government, in the Arab world and in the West, you know, they have a moral responsibility and account for their actions and lack of their action to stop this evil from spreading. Yet they continue to see, you know, the war raging in Syria. And they did nothing. They created an Iraqi sectarian government in Nouri al-Maliki with Iran intervention.
And he's a dictator, right?
Sunni.
He's a tyrant.
I mean, 8 years of al-Maliki. 8 years of al-Maliki. I mean, I got reports.
He's a dictator. The guy's a dictator. He's a new Saddam Hussein. He's just killing different people.
Exactly. They're all Saddam Hussein.
Alexander, hang on 1 second. We have someone on the phone line. Let's see if we can bring them on. You're on the air on Talk of the Town Radio. Hazem, how are you, Hazem?
Marhaba, how are you?
Marhaba. Kif halak?
Kif halak?
Mabsoot.
Allah salmak.
Allah salmak, inta.
Shukran, Ray. Thank you very much. I just want to mention to you, I don't know if you know that or not, do you remember the American peace activist, Rachel Corrie?
Of course, that's another one that's angering me. The Israeli court threw that case out this week and decided that, you know, they weren't going to approve the appeal, you know, of the case. And really, that's another slap in the face of Americans by this Israeli right-wing government. You're right. Thank you for mentioning it.
I just want to mention it to you. That's it.
Thank you so much for...
No problem, Ray. And keep up the good work, man. God bless you.
All right. This is Radio Jihad here today.
No.
The Khaled, I got him scared. I'm sorry, Khaled. I'm just making a joke there. It's a little humor. American satire coming out on my side. We're on the line with Alexandra Halaby, who's a spokesperson for the International Middle East Media Center. And also I have veteran journalist Ali Yunus on the line with the ArabDailyNews.com. He's co-editor with me over there. Alexandra, are you familiar with the Rachel Corrie case, what Israel has done over the more than a decade now to kind of prevent justice there?
Yeah, I actually had written the piece that appeared in IMEMC about the Supreme Court, the Israeli Supreme Court.
The ruling against the appeal,
The ruling
by the family.
Yeah, I, Right. I wrote that piece for IMEMC. And, you know, Rachel Corey was another peace activist who worked with the International Solidarity Movement. Once again, Rachel Corey was also someone who trained in Bethlehem with the International Middle East Media Center. What the IMEMC does, aside from having a website that publishes news information from Palestine, the IMEMC in Beit Zahur also trains international and Palestinian journalists, provides context to the occupation, and essentially trains them in our editorial guidelines. I think that it's interesting that, unfortunately, once we received word today from the Corey family, once the Corey family received word today from their attorneys that the Supreme Court of Israel dismissed the appeal in the wrongful death case of the dear departed Rachel Corey, the family was extremely disappointed, but they weren't surprised. The family has said that they hoped for a different outcome, though they've come to see through this experience how deeply all of Israel's institutions are implicated in the impunity enjoyed by the Israeli military. That was part of a statement issued by the Rachel Corey family. It's going to take some time for the Corey family to read the decision in English and to process everything that the court said. But, of course, it's clear that the decision, which affirmed the August 2012 lower court finding, amounts to a judicial sanction of immunity for Israeli military forces when they commit injustice.
Basically, they can kill anybody they want, is what the ruling almost says, which is kind of ironic because the Israelis and American Jews have gone to court to file lawsuits against Palestinians and Arabs, accusing them of being responsible for the deaths of people. Alexandra, I want to just thank you again for taking the time to join us. And I'd like to urge everybody to please visit the International Middle East Media Center. It is one of the best resources for accurate news, very objective news, and very detailed news about what's happening in the Middle East and in Palestine. The IMEMC.org website. Alexandra Halaby is their spokesperson. Alexandra, thank you so much for joining us. I wish we had more time to continue this, but I do appreciate you joining us again.
Sure. And Ray, if I could, I would like to let your audience know that IMEMC operates solely on reader donations. At this time, we are extremely needy for financial contributions. So if any of your listeners who appreciate the work that we do could go to imemc.org/donate. Donations made in the United States are tax deductible, and we have a number of ways that international readers can donate as well. But it's extremely important because, once again, we're in a position right now where we're not quite sure that we'll be able to continue providing this service in a few months.
That would be a great loss. I hope that you can. And when people visit the IMEMC.org website, right at the top left, it says donate. You can donate safely and securely and help the IMEMC.org news website remain out there for everybody. Alexandra, thank you so much again. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Ray.
You're welcome.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you. Allie Eunice, you still there, Allie?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Sorry about that. I know we only got a couple.
I'm by your side.
You are. You're the man. Listen, you're a great journalist, Allie, and I love your writings. I want to ask you real quick, in your judgment, was the Chapel Hill shootings a hate crime, or was it just the guy that went upset because somebody parked in his parking space?
You know, look, if you want to kill somebody because over a parking space, I mean, half of the American people would be dead by now.
Right, and you know, in Chicago, they have that process where they put dibs. You know, like when they shovel the snow and they put a chair in their parking space. Can you imagine if this spread to Chicago, how many people would be dead tomorrow?
But also, in my latest column in the Arab Daily News about, you know, there's an environment in the U.S. It's an environment by politics, politicians like Bobby Jindal of Louisiana, whose real name is Piyush Jindal, right? Picking on Arabs and picking on the Muslims. Fox News. The show Tyrant, the American Sniper show.
Yeah.
You know?
Some people are saying, and do you believe that, Allie, do you believe that that movie, American Sniper, also contributed to this environment of hatred and anti-Muslim, anti-Arab hate?
Exactly. Because it glorifies
the murder of Muslims and Arabs.
And murder of Muslims and Arabs, regardless of legal or illegal. You know, I mean, he is being depicted and projected as a national hero.
Right.
You know, could you imagine that we have a Chris Kyle or a sniper killing African-Americans, even if it's legitimately, or Jews or whites?
Right.
I mean, this movie would not see the day of the light, the light of the day.
Half the people that the civilian soldiers killed were civilians, and a lot of them were kids.
Yeah.
And shameful.
Chris Kyle killed a woman and a child.
Yeah.
Right? And he is.
He should be prosecuted for war crimes. He should be somebody killed him, but they should have prosecuted him for war crimes the way they did during the Vietnam War when they massacred civilians at My Lai. Allie, we only have about 30 seconds left, so real quick, final thoughts on the shooting?
Yes, I'm thinking that Arab Americans and Muslims should be careful. Not to instigate anybody, but also they should exercise due diligence and call the police or the FBI if they hear any problems, because, you know, the whole environment there, it just makes us a target, an easy target for some crazy nut person out there to go ahead and extract revenge on some innocent Arabs and Muslim Americans.
I agree with you. We got to be extra careful today because the hostility, the anger, the fanaticism, the hatred, the racism, the stereotypes is unrestrained. It's uncontrolled. It's wild. And they will kill anybody. There are fanatics in this country that hate anybody because of the way you look.
And when a white person kill Arabs.
Oh, it was an accident.
It's over parking.
Yeah, it's a parking ticket. I think that's a good defense that the terrorists can start using. Listen, Allie Yunus, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
And we'll talk to you later. That's Allie Yunus. He's the co-editor with me at the ArabDailyNews.com. I'm Ray Hanania here at Talk of the Town Radio, 1450 AM and YahalaVoice.com. I want to thank Khalid Khilfa and everybody here at Yahala Voice, putting the show together each week. And I really appreciate it. I'm here every Friday at 4:05 PM right here at 1450 and online at Yahala Voice. We will podcast this show. It's broadcast one more time Monday at 11 AM online at YahalaVoice.com. You can hear it again. And then we'll have the podcast up on our website at thearabdailynews.com. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you next Friday. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Yahala Voice.